Nau mai, haere mai. Welcome to the Maxim Institute podcast. My name is Jason, and I'm the Communications Manager at Maxim Institute. This is our weekly short-form podcast. These podcasts are released in tandem with our weekly column and are a chance for you to hear in-depth from the column's author about some of the thinking that went into producing their final piece. Today we talk to Communications Coordinator Josiah Brown about his recent column. Josiah, welcome along to the podcast, mate. Good
Thanks
to have
for
you.
Having me.
Yeah, always good to chat. We're talking about your latest column, Putting the Local Back in Local Government. It seems from your column that central government doesn't trust us to look after ourselves in some ways.
That would seem to be the case, yeah.
Yeah.
I read an interesting piece as I was thinking about what I would write on local government. And just looking at our history, there are so many things, so many decisions made by central government that have made the responsibilities of local government much smaller over time. So they might be doing lots of different things. I mean, I include a list of the parks, libraries, community recreation centers, like the list goes on, really important
and
things.
And stuff that impacts you every day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But within the broad range of activities they conduct, it's actually quite prescribed what they can do within those things. And so that makes you ask the question, well, how local is local government? And if it's not that local, then we should be thinking about our structure and how we might actually make local government local again.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I guess if they're just doing what they're told, and you make the point in here that there's kind of this circular absolving of responsibility, like the government, central government says, well, it's the local government's problem, they need to fix it, and local government says, but we're just doing what we're told. And
yeah, it's difficult. I mean, one of the important things about democracy is transparency and accountability. You don't really have transparency when you're not sure who's actually making the decisions.
Yeah.
It's like the classic Karen who goes to the store manager and says, there's something wrong, I want to speak to the manager.
Yes.
Then you know who you're speaking to, you know who's ultimately responsible. And I think it's a little bit like that with local government. The cliche is always about sort of building consents and how long and how expensive that whole process can be.
Yeah.
And then they go and complain to the council or whatever, and they go, well, actually, this part is not actually our fault. You know, this governing body or organization looks after that. And I can imagine if you were building something and these costs are mounting and the delays are growing, you'd be frustrated and just like, man, just give me someone who I can speak to sort this out.
Yeah.
And it's been like this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so the question is like, well, okay, how can we make this less of a black box? How can we understand where the problems are and who's responsible for those problems? And if it's tangled, as it seems to be now, then we need to untangle it and make it really clear who's responsible for what.
Yeah, because I think you would imagine, surprisingly, voter turnout for local elections is quite low.
Very low.
Yeah, but you would expect with something as frustrating as this, people would want to have their say, but they don't.
It doesn't seem to be the case, no. And when we look at the nationwide restructuring that happened in 1989, you had 56% turnout for voters, and that's okay. I mean, it's still lower actually than I would have thought.
Yes, because what's the national one we were looking at the other day?
Yeah, it's high 70s, 79.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just see that gradual decline, and I can't help but wonder, well, is that because of the centralization that's taken power away from the local government?
Yeah, I wonder, it's like that perception of who actually runs this city. Maybe it's not the mayor and the councillors. Maybe it's actually the prime minister and cabinet who run the city.
Well, can you tell me whether you do anything that's pointless, that makes no difference?
Yeah, that's right.
I tend to think that if I'm going to do something, there has to be a point to it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like that with voting. And if you're going to vote and it doesn't really change what's going to happen, what's the point? I mean, the other challenge is, how do you know who these people are and what they stand for? That's actually a real challenge as well for local body elections, is actually knowing, well, if you are voted in, what difference will you make? And maybe part of the reason why you can't differentiate them, it's because I can't actually make that much of a difference.
Yeah, and I remember on the campaign, there's not even a campaign trail for local body elections. There, you get sent out a booklet where people get like 100, maybe even less words to describe who they are, what they stand for, and then you're supposed to vote for them based
Close
on that.
Close your eyes and check a box.
Yeah, yeah, essentially. Yeah, yeah. So I can understand why a lot of the personal touch has been taken out of it. So
What can we do to turn it around?
As I sort of alluded to before, I think really it is about clarifying whose responsibility is it to do certain things. Mm. The Resource Management Act is, again, one of those real thorns in the side of people who are really concerned about development, building houses, urban development, yeah. because it adds unnecessary costs and incredible delays to that whole process. The RMA, it's something like 900 pages long.
Wow.
And so you can imagine it would be difficult to cut through all of that red tape and get things done effectively, particularly when there are so many experts involved and it cuts between different people involved in different spaces. So one of the first things we could do, as I mentioned, is really to clarify that. It's even it's simple things like what material should be used for a building. I had an uncle who was looking to tear down an old deck and build a new one. And he was told that he would need to use stainless steel screws, stainless steel brackets for the construction of this deck because he was in a sea spray zone.
Yeah.
Except he was quite far away from the sea.
Yeah.
and so there's a bit of head scratching going on there, thinking, okay, why do I need this? But that's fine. The council says so. They're imposing this cost. I'd better do it. But when they pulled the deck down, those screws and those brackets that had been there for the last 30 years, zero corrosion.
Yeah.
And so I think that's sort of case in point where there can be all of these regulations and the council can make all of these decisions and they impose that cost on other people. Mm. They don't need to bear it themselves. Mm. And that really does have knock-on effects, particularly if you're thinking about, you know, maybe building something for yourself, if you're a construction company, all of that, all of those costs and that unsurety about what may happen moving forward is going to hamper development in some pretty profound ways, which is why housing is so scarce and so expensive in Auckland.
So more transparency, more accountability, more local, maybe the government divesting some of its authority to local.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an undoing of all the stuff that the government, like you say, is over the years, successive governments have slowly taken off or imposed maybe their own authority on local councils. So they need to start undoing some of that.
I think so, yeah. And it is that tricky challenge because you do need to have a level of national regulation.
Mm.
But I think the trick is trying to make that as broad as possible so that local councils can be meeting the needs of their people in their specific locations because one size doesn't fit all. Actually, there are some quite specific and unique needs of individual communities that only the local councils can address. And sometimes just having a broad brush blanket rule on things doesn't help those people.
And are we seeing any moves in that direction that you're aware of?
We've been talking about Resource Management Act reform for the longest of times. Labor had their own thing going on, which has been scrapped. National are doing their own thing. And what the minister has said is that they're going to be making it more clear who's responsible for what. So it's this sort of, predictability is key, keeping costs down is key. And so it's things like giving people greater ability to substitute building materials. In New Zealand, if there's a building material you want to use, you're actually taking a great deal of risk upon yourself if it's not already approved. And that's, again, partly why councils are so scared because of the leaking building situation that we had not so long ago.
Yeah.
But it has actually swung too far the other way where now we're too scared to use other materials that are good, that are cheaper. But we won't touch them. And so part of that actually looks like, you know, seeing what Australia's doing and if there are building materials that are approved there, then they can be used here. So it's things like that that give developers more surety moving forward of how they can build houses more cost effectively so that we as the house buyer or renter pays a lower cost because the everyday person does bear these costs.
Yeah. Well, hopefully some moves to put the local back in local government. Josiah, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Local government has held the limelight recently on account of water woes, rates rises, and mayoral dramas. Councils are left scratching their heads, figuring out how to keep their hole-riddled buckets full when debts need servicing and operational costs mount. Financial stability is one thing, but ultimately, trust is the legal tender in which our representatives trade, and it seems they're running dangerously short. A review of our history suggests that the central government doesn't trust councils to administer essential services, with successive governments stripping them of responsibility and power. These decisions, coupled with a proclivity for centralisation, mean the scope of local government in New Zealand is much smaller than in most other countries.
We have 11 regional councils responsible for the provision of libraries, parks, community and recreation centres, roads, water supply, transportation, wastewater, waste disposal, environmental protection, planning and regulation. These tangibly impact the everyday lives of citizens, so why the low voter turnout in local body elections? Since the local government's nationwide restructuring in 1989, voter turnout has steadily declined from 56 to 42%. The culprit may be how much influence the public feels it can have, which in turn may have something to do with the actual power councils wield. Much of what local councils can do is constrained by regulation imposed by the central government, limiting the scope of local decision-making and accountability. The solution? A devolution of power, but that would require the central government to relinquish control. Then, there's transparency and accountability, which again is hampered by the central government's control over local decision-making. The current arrangement tends toward finger-pointing and blame-gaming. Here's how it's played. Ratepayers get upset by higher costs, poor outcomes, or both. The local council says it's out of their hands. The government says the local council needs to manage its affairs better. The result? Nobody wins. Let's take a specific example. Housing. Our Resource Management Act is a classic example of legislation that restricts council activity, making it more challenging to deliver on housing and urban development. According to data from StatsNZ, the cost of building a house has surged by 41% since 2019. Local councils bear a degree of responsibility, with some builders suggesting it's easier to build a house than get building consent. And yet, according to Auckland Council's website, building and consent compliance issues are not always our responsibility. So whose is it? Because we want to talk to the manager. If local government decision-making was less of a black box, housing could be cheaper, roads better, and maybe, just maybe, public transport would run on time. We begin rebuilding trust in local government by clarifying their responsibilities and untangling them from central government. These are the preconditions for accountability and improved voter participation. The good news is that moves are being made in this direction. Building and Construction Minister Chris Penk plans to reform the building consent system for greater clarity and consistency. It's a step in the right direction. Let's keep walking down that road.
Thanks for listening to the Maxim Institute podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us and keep up with the rest of our research and analysis of politics and policy in New Zealand, you can sign up on the homepage of our website to get our monthly forum email and invitations to future Maxim Institute events. You can search and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. From the team at Maxim, mā te wā, goodbye for now.